Well, welcome to a balmy fall Sabbath. I don't know about you, but I've got a long sleeve shirt, a vest, and a coat on, and I'm still kind of chilly. It looks like the middle of next week, it's supposed to really take a dive, and I think the highs are supposed to be in the 30s for the balance of the week. I know there's those out there that are looking forward to their winter sports. I'll just be quiet because I don't want to get into trouble. Just real quickly, a couple, you guys know that I like to look at church signs when I travel, two of them that I came across. One was in front of a Presbyterian church, and it said 10 a.m. worship services. And the message is, "Will I have a mustache in heaven?" Now, I guess I can guarantee you two things. Number one, that minister probably has a mustache, I'm sure. You know, I look at it, and as I've gone through my life, and I'm sure you have too, we've always thought about what would the kingdom be like, you know, what are we going to be doing, what's it going to look like physically. I've had this mustache for over 35 years. I don't think there was ever one time that I thought, well, I have that mustache in the kingdom. So different priorities for different people. And one in front of a Methodist church that says, "Don't let worries kill you. Let the church help." Now, time out. There's enough stuff out there that's trying to kill me. I don't need the church to help me along on that anymore. So just a couple, two cute ones that we found. Well, today, I know that I've spoke to you all in the past on addictions and the problems they cause. And when we think of addictions, we normally think of alcohol, drugs, and probably even tobacco. And we know that these are terrible addictions, and they're hard to break, both physically and mentally. And these addictions do take their toll on us physically, spiritually, and in our relationships. And we also know, we spoke about it, there's other addictions out there. And these addictions also can take their toll. Perhaps it's overeating or our diet. Perhaps it's undereating or anorexia. We know there's addictions to pornography and there's sexual addictions. We can also have addictions to leisure activities. Again, all of these addictions are not good, and they do affect our relationship with God and with others. Today, I want to speak about an addiction that maybe you've not heard about, that's not often recognized, but in my opinion, has probably created more problems than some of the addictions that I just mentioned. And it is also a strong gateway addiction into other addictions. The addiction I'm going to speak about today is called destination addiction. Destination addiction means or is a preoccupation with the idea that happiness is the next place. Have any of us been guilty of that? Have we been guilty of destination addiction in our lives? I know I have. I remember as a young boy, I grew up in Sugar Creek, and I rode my bicycle all over Sugar Creek. But I could not wait to be able to be old enough to drive a car. And that was my destination. And for a few years, it was all I thought about. I think I drove my mom and dad nuts. But you know, when I look back on it, what a wonderful time I had riding that bike. I know every night I would hop on my bike and I'd ride down to the post office to get the mail. I'd scour around and find a dime and I would stop by and get a candy bar. And yes, candy bars were a dime when I was a kid. I rode that bike to school. I rode it to baseball practices. I rode it to friends' houses. I rode it everywhere. But my destination was to be able to drive a car. And that was okay to have that destination. But again, looking back, what a joyous time I had riding that bike. Well, I finally got my license Finally, I was old enough. And guess what? I had to buy a car. I had to pay for that car. I had to pay for gas. I had to pay for repairs. I had to pay for insurance. You know, looking back on it, that bike probably didn't get me very far, but it was sure a lot cheaper than that car. It was okay to have that goal or destination or the car, but I needed to take time to be happy where I was, to enjoy the journey. I know in my life, and I'm sure in all of yours, we're always looking to the next destination. I remember in school, it was always the next grade. I'm sure it was the same for you. We couldn't wait to get to that next grade because that would be the ultimate. That would be wonderful. When I was in high school, I couldn't wait to get to college. When I was in college, I couldn't wait to get out and get a real job and earn some real money. And I remember sitting in my office chair at my first job and thinking, wow, I have to do this for the rest of my life. And you know, there was always the destination of trying to climb that corporate ladder. Always looking ahead and not enjoying where I was at. Not enjoying the journey. That's destination addiction. You know, those of us that have been in the church for a long time probably remember back, this is a few decades back, to a sermon entitled, Let's Get to Phoenix by Sundown. I'm sure some of you remember that. And it was aimed mostly at men and their drive to get to a destination. And I'm sure we all remember it. It's become a saying even among a lot of us. We've probably even experienced it traveling somewhere. And I like to think about traveling to the feast, and I'm sure you all have experienced this. We get the car loaded. We get the kids settled in. And off we go to the feast site. Now, that's an admirable destination, going to the feast. But after about 30 minutes or 45 minutes, one of the kids says, Daddy, I have to pee. You remember any of those times? And what do we say? What? This isn't part of my itinerary. I'm going to stop for gas in 2 hours. Can you hold it? And grudgingly, we're forced to stop. And maybe our mate says, Honey, I know this area, and up ahead there's a gorgeous view. Let's stop and take some pictures. And again, our attitude is, What? There'll be plenty of pictures to take at the feast when we get there. I can't stop now. You see, our destination may have been on common ground, but how we get there, our journey, may not be somebody else's. We have our mind so focused on our destination that we don't care about the comfort of others. Our poor child that has to go to the bathroom. Or the beautiful experiences, those pictures. Those beautiful experiences that we may have missed along the way. And as I stated earlier, I propose that destination addiction has been the root of many of the world's problems. And we think about a man-woman relationship. Let's say marriage. Most office romances or adulterous affairs are quite likely the result of destination addiction. My spouse doesn't understand me like you do. My spouse doesn't take care of my physical needs. My spouse doesn't physically take care of himself or herself like he or she should. These are justifications for a new destination, a new person to be with, because we are not happy where we are. Let's turn over to James 4, please. James 4, and we're going to start in verse 1. We'll read verses 1 through 3. James 4, verse 1. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires, your destination? Your desires for pleasure that war in your members. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your own pleasure. We ask and we do not receive. Why? Because it's for our own pleasure, our own destination, not concern about others or what impact that may have on others. Economically, we say we need a nicer car. We need a fancier home. We deserve a bigger TV or a faster computer. Always a new destination. That may lead us to financial ruin. A new destination in a job. A new destination in our leisure activities. Maybe a bigger boat or nicer golf clubs. Always searching, 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 and never being happy. You know, early in this message, I called destination addiction a gateway addiction. Most alcoholics and addicts abuse substances, quite frankly, because they are not happy with their position in life. You know, they may be suffering from anxiety, depression, guilt, may have been abused as a child, and quite frankly, not able to forgive themselves or the others. They abuse substances to escape, to be free of their emotions and feelings. They are addicted to reaching any new destination, anywhere but here, anywhere but where they're at. They're not happy where they are. Unfortunately, whatever that destination is in their mind, it seems to be always out of reach. So the next step is giving up, existing, and just waiting to die. Talked about anorexics. They starve themselves because that destination addiction is always a few pounds less. Most suffer from low self-esteem, and they're never satisfied with their bodies. They're not happy where they are. Unfortunately for them, they can never reach their destination because that destination is always moving. Always out of reach, just a few pounds more. Now, I do want to clarify before I go any further, for those of us that are goal setters, I am not advocating not setting goals. In our physical life as well as our spiritual life, we all need to set goals, something that we wish to obtain. But as we go from point A, where we are now, to point B, our goal or our destination, we really do continually need to ask ourselves two questions. The first question is, does it matter what happens in between as long as we reach our destination? And two, is my destination consistent with God's destination? Turn with me, please, over to Philippians 3. Philippians 3, we're going to read verses 12 through 16, ones we know well. Philippians 3, verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind, and if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us be of the same mind. To the degree that we have already attained. We're not perfected. It's a journey. It's growth. We have not obtained that ultimate perfection yet. But we need to be happy or where we are. We need to continually grow and seek God's perfection. Does anybody in here ever have problems with the word perfect? I know sometimes I do. Maybe you don't. And just as a side note, let's turn over to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13, let's read verses 20 and 21. Again, Hebrews 13, let's start in verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete. And if you look in the margin, the other rendering for that is perfect. So make you complete in every good work to do his will, working in you what is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. And just a side note, I like the word complete. I know we've heard some messages on it in the past. And I don't know why. To me, it just seems more obtainable. But we need to strive to seek that perfection. We need to strive to get from point A, where we are now, to point B. And that's our ultimate goal, the ultimate goal of being in God's kingdom. But the journey is just as important. That we're satisfied, that we're happy along the way. Not grudgingly doing our activities to achieve our destination. And certainly not hurting others as we try to achieve that goal. That journey is there for us to learn. Both the good aspects and the bad aspects. Not only for our own salvation, but to help others enjoy a life that God wants us all to have. So what about us as Christians? Are we always looking for a new destination? For something better? Are we dissatisfied because the church is not perfect in our sight? The church's destination may not be consistent with my destination. Are we dissatisfied with the minister because of the direction or destination he is taking us? And we've all heard these complaints. We're feeding the flock too much. We're feeding the flock too little. Too much prophecy. Not enough prophecy. Too authoritarian. Not enough. And worst of all, we are dissatisfied with ourselves and continually beat ourselves up as we are reaching for that destination. And look at that attitude and look at the problems that has caused in the past. Church splits because someone felt the church would be better led in their sight. The destination is the same, God's kingdom. But again, let's go back and ask ourselves those two questions. Question one, does it matter what happens in between as long as we reach our destination? Yes, it matters. Look at the lives the splits have affected. Family and friends breaking up. People leaving the church because maybe they've become disillusioned. Yes, it does matter how we get there. And the second question, is my destination and the way I get there consistent with God's? I guess I have to ask the question, does God want division? And I can cite probably at least 10 scriptures where God hates division. So why do we insist on doing it? I have a news flash for you. There is no physical church that will ever be perfect in our sight. If we have learned nothing else in the decades on this earth, we should not put our total trust in any one human being. They'll make mistakes. Our trust should be in God and Jesus Christ. And we look at it, and what about our children? And we can ask the same two questions. Does it matter what we do in between with the destination in mind of our children becoming church members? Now, we can bring our children up in strict accordance with every facet of doctrine. We can make sure we try and set a good example. We can have them involved with everything the church puts on. But in the end, it's their decision on what they do with their lives. It's their destination, not ours. And is our destination consistent with God's? In this particular area, I guess we need to ask God that question. We want our children to be baptized and productive church members just as soon as they can. But we also know that ultimately God does the calling. Perhaps our time frame isn't God's time frame. Again, maybe God's destination and that time frame is not ours. You know, I was once in a church area here a while back, and I met a gentleman, and he was truly in love with God's church. He expounded on how wonderful it was to keep God's truth, and he especially loved the Sabbath. But what he said next made me think. And as I said, he truly loved the Sabbath. But from Sabbath to Sabbath, he isolated himself. He barely did anything in the world during the week. And I guess I have to ask, is that what God wants us to do? His destination addiction was so strong that he didn't want anything to derail him from it, even living life. What about our marriages? We all know God hates divorce. So our destination is to stay married until we die. And that's an admirable destination. But do we grit our teeth every day? Do we not forgive? Are we more concerned about ourselves and our destination other than our spouses? Is this the journey God wants us to take to our destination? You know, symbolically, the church, that's you and me, will be married to Christ. Is that the attitude we should have in that relationship? And we all know church members in the past whose sole reason for being here was to be in God's kingdom and escape the tribulation. Keeping to a gnat's eyelash every physical commandment from God. Is that all God wants from us in this life? Is that why he gave us this physical life? Let's turn over to Luke 18. And it's the parable of the rich young ruler. And we know it well. We'll read through it here. We'll start in verse 18. It goes through 23. Verse 18 of Luke 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" That's an admirable destination, an admirable question. What should I do to inherit eternal life? Let's skip down to verse 20. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother. And he said, "All these I have kept from my youth." So his journey, that's his journey to get to his destination. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, starting in 22, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You see, his journey, his destination was all about the physical. He had riches in life. He wanted to get to that physical, eternal life. The destination was there, but his journey was not consistent with what God wanted. God wanted him to look at more than the physical, to look at the spiritual side. So we all need to seek perfection, or if you like, completeness, with the destination of being in God's kingdom. And God gave us this physical life for a reason. We all have a journey to get to our ultimate destination. The journey, and quite frankly, our attitude in that journey, is just as important as the destination. Turn over to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, and we'll start in verse 11. We're going to read 11 through 13. Philippians 4, verse 11. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer needs. See, we're seeing both sides of it. Now, we're supposed to be happy in our journey, in reaching our destination. It's easy to be happy when you're full, when you have what you want. It's not so easy when you don't have the things you need or are hungry. But he's talking about both sides here. He can be happy when he's full and happy when there's need. Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we should take comfort in that. In this journey that we're going through, Christ is always there to strengthen us, to help us. There can be some unpleasant experiences along the way to our destination. After all, the main definition of destination addiction is not being happy where we are. We look at it just like our feast trips. Now, maybe a flat tire or car problems along the way. Maybe flight delays or cancellations. I know there's times we've been sick. And there will always be bumps as we travel to our destination. Life itself, financial, relationship problems, physical problems, they can all take their toll. And I've said this before. I know when we were baptized, we came up out of that water feeling great, and we thought we'd never have any problems again. It didn't work that way, did it? So when we're going from point A to point B and we encounter those problems, does it matter how we handle those problems? I guess we ask ourselves the same two questions. Does it matter what happens in between as long as we reach point B? And is God's destination our destination? Let's turn over to Psalms. Psalms 94. We'll start in verse 11. I like the title or the heading to Psalms 94, God, the refuge of the righteousness of the righteous. Okay, Psalms 94, verse 11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man, that they are futile. I guess we look at that and we can say our destination is not always consistent with God's destination. Sometimes our thoughts, our direction are not consistent with God's. Verse 12, blessed is the man whom you instruct, O Lord, and teach out of your law, that you may give him rest from the days of adversity until the pit is dug for the wicked. Peace, happiness, as we go along our journey. That's what we will receive. Verse 14, for the Lord will not cast off his people, nor will he forsake his inheritance. Again, he's there with us on this journey. But judgment will return to righteousness, and all the upright in heart will follow it, who will rise up against me against the evildoers, who will stand up for me against the workers of iniquity. 17. Unless the Lord had been my help, my soul would have settled in silence. If I say my foot slips, your mercy, O Lord, will hold me up. In the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. Again, our journey. We have help. We have the Holy Spirit. We have Christ here. God hears us. And in verse 19, in the multitude of my anxieties within me, your comforts delight my soul. We are happy where we are, and we should be. Turn over to Hebrews 13. And we'll look at verse 5. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Always looking for that new destination, always coveting something. That should not be part of our attitude. And we need to be content. I will never leave you nor forsake you. And again, as we go about this journey, we can take comfort in knowing that we do have help. I'd like to conclude with one final scripture, and we'll find that over in Luke, Luke 12. Luke 12, we'll start in verse 22, and we'll read through verse 34. Again, these are scriptures you know well. Luke 12, verse 22, and he said to his disciples, therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on. Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds? And which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? If you then are not able to do the least, why are you anxious for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field, and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? And do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. For all these things the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knows that you need these things. You see, God knows what we need. He's there for our journey. And our journey is consistent with God's. Verse 31, but seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide yourself money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And that's our treasure, That's our destination. And we should sit and think. And we can be happy. We can be happy where we are now. Because God knows what our needs are. He'll help us in our journey. And we can take comfort in knowing that this destination is also consistent with God's. Brethren, we all seek our ultimate destination. But please, enjoy the journey.